Hi everyone, welcome to episode number 25 of the 21 Sensory podcast. So today I have another special guest with me, and I have Lily, and I met Lily on Instagram. She is at Shorty Orty. Well, it's actually shorty.orty on Instagram if you want to find her. And she is also autistic and is like a self-advocate for autism. And she also has a podcast called Autism and Positivity. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But Lily, do you want to say hi to everyone?
Hi, it's nice to meet you all. As Emily just said, I'm Lily. I run shorty.orty on Instagram. And I'm 16, almost 17.
No, that was a good intro.
Thank you.
No worries. So what are you kind of up to right now in your life? So you're 16. Are you doing A-levels? Is that right?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. And they're keeping me very busy, I must say. That's due to a lot of inactivity on my account, which I am very sorry for. A-levels have been keeping me very busy, I must say. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing a lot of work on them so that I can get some good results. Apart from A-levels, they've really been keeping me busy, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I haven't done much else. Yeah, I haven't done much else apart from constant studies, making posts for my account. Mm-hmm. You know, just the normal, everyday things. Yeah,
it sounds like you're juggling a lot. So how many A-levels are you doing?
I'm doing three.
Okay, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, there was an option to do four, but I didn't want to put that on myself. Plus, I didn't really have another subject which I liked.
That's fair enough. I also did three A-levels because I thought there is not a fourth one I want to do, and three is enough.
I agree with that logic.
Yeah, three is so many. Like, I knew some people who did like five, and I was like, I don't know how you're
five.
Functioning.
That's insane.
I know. And they're always like really brainy people. I was like, no, three's enough. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, three is enough. If there was an option to do two, I would have done two.
Oh, same.
But no.
Because like the coursework takes so much time, doesn't it? Like so much time.
It does.
Yeah.
If you do a coursework-based subject, you have to devote mm-hmm. all of your time to it.
Exactly.
Or most of your time.
It is I don't know. I don't miss GCSEs and A-levels. That's one thing I don't miss. Once you get
I definitely don't miss GCSEs. Yeah. There's too many subjects.
It's just so many to juggle, isn't it, at once? It's just crazy.
I prefer doing three subjects in more detail rather than seven or eight subjects.
Mm-hmm. That's
a bit of detail.
Yeah, that's what I liked about uni, because then I could just do one that I loved. just one.
Yeah.
Do you know what you
just the one.
Yeah. Do you know what you want to like go on to do after A-levels? I know COVID isn't helping the whole situation of what to do next sort of thing, but do you know if you want to go to uni?
I'm not too sure if I want to go to uni, but it's not really because of like a subject I'm passionate about. It's because of something like about, you know, going to stay mm-hmm. in an unfamiliar or familiar location. Mm-hmm. But if there was, I know that some people do this, they commute to their uni every day or they only go in a few times a week. I'd rather do that or do it from home because I have a lot of social anxiety when I go to new places for a while. Well, ones that I'm not familiar with, like school trips used to give me a lot of anxiety. And whereas sleepovers and like going to my wider family's houses were absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. It was just the school trips with the people that were my friends and I wasn't familiar with in a house environment, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I totally know what you mean. And that is exactly the same problem I had when I wanted to go to uni, and I did exactly what you're talking about. I chose like a local university and I commuted like 40 minutes there and back each day.
Bad.
Yeah, which I was totally fine with, and it was never like 5 days a week. It was like 3 days a week, and that suited me perfectly because, like you say, I couldn't stay on campus. I couldn't do that. It's just not,
yeah,
it's too much. And I totally understand why you feel that way as well. It's, you've got to find it, like, what works for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what you might want to study?
I did originally want to work towards a PhD in French studies.
Okay.
But I'm not too sure on that now. And I did want to go into learning to be a therapist. That was also another career journey that I wanted to take, because I take health and social care, mm-hmm, as a BTEC, level 3. And I was just interested in how the mind works as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's I wanted to do psychology for my A levels, but I didn't want to do 4 subjects.
Okay.
The workload would have been too much.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would want to learn about therapy, and I want to benefit people. I want to help them, and also in a language aspect, I want to help them learn French and feel a sense of achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't want to be a teacher, I just want, I want to gift the world with my knowledge.
That's really in a way. That's really like you say, like giving something back kind of thing.
Yeah,
it sounds like you've got different options that, you know, you've definitely, I mean, you are only 16 and you've got, you know, these ideas, which is great, because I know, you know, you're still quite young and a lot of 16-year-olds don't know what they want to do, but it sounds like you've kind of got a pathway that you
plan.
Yeah, that's really good. Oh, that's really good. So moving on from that, we usually kind of at the start of my kind of podcasts talk about the diagnoses that the guest has, and sort of when they got them. And I know that you're autistic, but I was just wondering, when you were diagnosed. I feel like I read some that you were quite little when you were diagnosed. Is that right?
Yeah, I was very young.
Okay.
When I was diagnosed.
Yeah.
So the disadvantage of being diagnosed really young is that you don't really remember your path to diagnosis, compared to if an adult, say, got a diagnosis, mm-hmm, when they remembered. But I don't remember much of mine. I've had to really find out, go on a journey. And that's also why I made my Instagram account, to go on that kind of diagnosis journey and learning a lot of things that I didn't find out myself. I was diagnosed when I was 3, and my mum told me that she started seeing the signs of me, obviously me being nonverbal and me not making any friendships and maintaining those in preschool. So I was about 2 or 3. I didn't really speak to anyone at all. That's when my mum knew probably to be a little off, and that I need to get it seen and tested about, you know. So apparently we went to the speech therapist, and it took several months, a diagnosis would usually take. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how many months it was. It's a shame, because I was too young to remember it, but
yeah.
I got told I was diagnosed with autism. It was only me and my mum there. My sister was obviously at school. I have an older sister.
Okay.
And she was about 10 when I was diagnosed. So then that kind of changed my life in a sense, because then I knew through primary school and secondary as well, and now in sixth form, mm-hmm, that I was diagnosed with autism. And that did change my life a lot, compared to if I was diagnosed now.
Yeah.
I got a lot more assistance in school. I got a lot more assistance, rather than if I was diagnosed now, I wouldn't have had that additional help.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That, that's what I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask if you'd like actually had like support through school, and that's really nice to hear that you did.
Yeah, although in year 11, which was last year for me, that support from my school, it kind of got taken away.
Okay.
And like, people don't really hear this story very often, but so in my secondary, I had like this annual review, which is basically a meeting every year to like assess where my progress was and in what areas, and whether I needed additional support added on to the support the school gave me. And that, in that meeting last year, it was determined that no, I didn't need it, when really I needed it a lot more, but they couldn't tell. And I was trying to tell them quite a bit that I could, like, I needed the help a lot more, because obviously it was GCSE year and I wasn't finishing my exams, like all of my mocks, like a lot of them were unfinished. And then if I had extra time, I'd have more potential.
Yeah.
But obviously they didn't really give me extra time either, because they thought I didn't need it. They thought I was too able, when in reality I needed that help a lot more. But like, it's all right now, but like, with the grades I got awarded in the summer, if I did the exams, I don't think I would have got as high as I could have gotten, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud with my summer grades, because like, they were the grades I should have got if I had that extra time and all the preparation. But it's just a shame I couldn't sit the exams. But I think it was better off our exams getting cancelled due to COVID-19, rather than me sitting them with no extra time and no support.
Yeah, either. That's madness.
Yeah, and also because they allow people to have another room. Like, you know, those people who, like, there's too many people in the room, so they do their exams in another location.
Yes, yeah.
I was refused that as well. So every time I had a mock exam, I would walk in feeling stressed and overwhelmed. A lot of people in the room, even though there wasn't noise at all, like, the presence of all of the people around me was still there. And the fact I had to sit hours on end in that kind of setting was unsettling, and I was not a big fan of that at all.
Yeah, that's madness. I mean, I can really like sympathise with you, because for my GCSEs and my A-levels, I had 25% extra time because of my processing difficulties. And that wasn't even like an official diagnosis. It was a diagnosis from an occupational therapist. And I mean, you've got an autism diagnosis. You should.
Yeah. An official one.
Yeah, you've got an official diagnosis. Why would you not be given, you know, extra time, a separate room, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
And from my experience, having 25% extra time, I used every second.
Yeah.
I tell me to put my pen down.
To it.
Yeah, that's madness. You need it for a reason, you know, like processing difficulties and stuff with autism, and reading the question and understanding it, and you know, even writing speeds and stuff like that. That seems mad that they wouldn't, you know. I'm kind of glad that your exams got cancelled.
I'm glad as well. And then I hope for A-levels that I do get awarded extra time. There was, my French teacher said that she would talk to someone in the SEN department. I don't know if that's how you'd say it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she said that she would talk to someone in that department, which I know quite well. Like, if I can get the extra time that I need, otherwise I wouldn't do well in my A-levels. And I don't want to like get a lower grade because I ran out of time. Because it seems like the most offbeat reason.
Yeah, and that accommodation is put in place to give you the same, you know, opportunities as, you know, someone without, you know, autism or a learning difficulty or something like that. That is the reason. It's fair.
Yeah.
I really do hope you get that.
Thank you. I hope so too.
Yeah, that is madness. I don't understand. I do not understand. But I'm glad that, you know, you're happy with the fact that, you know, your exams were cancelled and that you can kind of go on.
And I can improve.
Yeah.
In these exams, if we do take them, because we don't even know. We're not certain of the future at all.
Yeah.
That's what I hate about all of it. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to sit my A-levels. Like, you don't know.
That's the thing, isn't it? That, like, you know, we can work from home and do all this, but it's, as for us kind of as autistic people, the uncertainty and the routine change is just so, like, unsettling.
Yeah.
It's not good. And like you said to me earlier, you know, you're having to do like a few calls a day sometimes just to like keep up with classwork and stuff. And you know, if you're better in the classroom and one to one, then I totally understand, you know. It's hard to pay attention.
The classroom.
Mm.
Which seems odd because other autistic people would think otherwise, but I know that if I have actual teacher support, then it's more helpful. And then they can write on the board, because writing things on the board helps me, because I'm a visual learner.
Mm-hmm.
So writing things on the board for me to like copy down or put into my own words is a lot better.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, learning on like a Zoom call, I haven't sort of done it apart from having like meetings and stuff, but learning via like a video call, you know, there is no kind of visual apart from the person sometimes or them sharing their screen, but that's not ideal, is it? You know, you don't get that interaction and stuff, or to ask for help like by putting your hand up and stuff.
Yeah, they do have a virtual button on the software we use. We use Microsoft Teams.
And okay, is it any good?
Yeah, it is quite good. There's like this hand, there's like this raise your hand function, which I've never used personally. Because I'm the one to really participate a lot, because I get very nervous and anxious, especially when speaking, because there are some teachers in my school that judge, like they come across as like judging what you're saying, but like obviously that's a joke, and I find it very difficult to understand jokes. So like,
I'm with you on that.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, and like tone of voice, and if someone's you know,
that's communication.
Oh, it sounds like you're dealing with a lot, like having to learn from home and not knowing, like A-level wise, like exams and stuff like that. Like, it all seems a bit up in the air, which I know is not
fun the best
to deal with. No. So like, do you have like any like kind of like hobbies or special interests, like that you can do like aside, like from, you know, like your daily class stuff?
Yeah, I do actually. One of them is French, which is also a school subject, but it's not just the fact that I need to learn all of it, it's the fact I want to, and I'm motivated to do that.
Oh, that's great.
Other special interests I have, one of them's dance. I do ballroom Latin, freestyle and street, and I absolutely love dance. Yeah, I absolutely love my dance. It just calms me down. I haven't done it for like 7 months, and I'm going, well, it'll be 8 months by the time I go back, because I start again in November, which makes me feel really happy to be able to go to dance again. And it's just very beneficial, and it will help me throughout this crisis and through everything we're going through. It'll calm me down like it usually does after a stressful situation, which is nice. I also like trampolining. It's not like a main special interest, and I never really regarded it as one, but I do really like it now. It's really fun to do. And I think other people who do trampolining will think the same thing. But the good thing is also, I do it with another, like a bunch of autistic people
who are a similar age.
Amazing.
It's like a support group, and it's for people, a range of people. Some of them are similar to me. I made a really good friend there who is also autistic. She's called Chloe. And we just became really good friends and we clicked. And like all the people there are so nice. And I really enjoy the group. And we've started again. We started in late September.
Okay.
Fairly recently. Yeah. And it's really fun. And I don't know if this is the right word, they facilitate like the room. They like adjust it so you're comfortable. Like I get warning. Okay. I get like told that, oh, by the way, there's like another team. There's another team training in here. Is that all right for you? And I say yes, usually, because they're not very loud. If they were loud, I'd be really uncomfortable with it. But yeah, I really do enjoy that. I'm trying to think what else I like. I like several TV shows. I count them as my special interests. And obviously giraffes, as some people might know. And
yeah.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with giraffes. Like, my room is giraffe themed.
And amazing.
Even my masks, they're giraffes as well.
Nice.
And they're very stylish. Also, I'd say a special interest of mine is organisation. I absolutely love to be organised. I made a section of my room into a desk, which is really helpful for obviously working from home and doing my homework. And like, because I usually have to catch up on notes, it's very helpful to do that as well. And it's just really interesting as well. I've got all the file dividers and the highlighters all in colour order.
Amazing. Yes, I love a bit of stationery and organisation.
I love stationery. I'm obsessed with it. And I've just organised it, and it makes me happy when I organise things because it's like the sense of accomplishment as well. So yeah, they're some of my interests. And I enjoy
it. Sounds like
every single one of them.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a real range of them, and you sound like a properly active person, like doing four different types of like dance, and the trampolining sounds so good.
It's really fun.
Yeah, I love that it's like a autistic group as well. I think that's really cool.
That's even better, I think, as well.
Yeah,
because like I can talk to them, but I don't have to feel embarrassed about starting a conversation like I do with a normal person, because it's like that judgment of, oh, will they judge me if I open with this? Will they walk away from me? Like, it's all that overthinking. But with an autistic person, they're similar to you. I wouldn't say exactly the same, because not one autistic person's like different, you know.
Yeah,
like, I mean, oh, I meant not one autistic person's the same.
Yeah.
Sorry, that sounded horrible. But
no, I knew what you meant.
Yeah, but it's really cool to get to know other autistic people, because before the group I wasn't really friends with many of them, and now I'm friends with quite a few. And also since making my account, I've made some friends as well. Amazing. Yeah.
So when did you start your Instagram? Like, how long have you been on it for?
I started my account on the 25th of April, so we were 1 month into lockdown. So it's been almost half a year now. Wow, that's crazy.
And you've already got like almost like 1,150 followers. Like, that's mad from April.
I know. But they have gone down because obviously I was inactive because my studies have been taking up a very large chunk of my life. Also, like, I've been quite socially drained because obviously going to school every day, you see your friends, and I try not to be like that. But sometimes it just happens, and I can't help that. And it's not great. But yeah, I do run my account whenever I'm free. I'm trying a lot more recently to be on it. Like what the time I go on Instagram in the day, I'll go on my account. I'll talk to people, ask how they are, because the autistic community on Instagram is just, they are amazing.
Everyone's so nice.
Yeah, they are. I'm so blessed to be a part of it and to be associated with people like that. It's just insane.
Yeah, everyone seems to be really kind of like friendly, and like whenever I have like a question or something, or like I do a Q&A, people are like so responsive and are like always willing to give advice. And it's so helpful.
I see that too. Like I do, I sometimes do question and answer on my story, and like there's never a box like I put on my story that isn't filled. Like it's always going to be filled, and I'm really happy about that, to be honest with you. And it's just, it makes me so happy, and like I'm really glad that I made the account, because I almost talked myself out of doing it. Because I didn't want people from my school to see it, but now people do, and I don't care about what they think, because
that's great.
Like I am my own person and I can do it. So I started my account, and originally it wasn't called Shorty Orty.
Oh really?
Yeah. It was called the Autistic Shorty, but I didn't think that worked, so I thought to find something that rhymes so it stuck in people's heads. And
that was a good idea.
Yeah, but then I also learned that there's another Shorty Orty on Instagram. But he spelt his with a Y and mine's IE. But we recently talked and he's really nice as well. Yes, there's two, but mine's got the IE, and yeah. And some people might not be able to tell like which is which, but mine's got my little profile picture is the like me shaking my maracas in a game called Tomodachi Life. So it's basically me.
From like the Wii, like
games. From Nintendo, that kind Nintendo. Of thing. Yeah.
I'm just looking at it now. I've actually got your Instagram up. It's all like sparkly, so you can't now can't miss. You can't miss it.
It's very visible.
Yeah,
I edited it myself, which is great.
That's so cute.
I added all the little sparkles on it.
Nice.
I thought it was joyful. It can bring joy to someone when they open my profile, and it's
and I love your like sense of style, like looking down your feed, like it's all very like you've definitely got like a sense of like design and like layout going on, and like color theme, like the purple and the blue.
I think that also represents not just purple and blue being my favorite colors. It represents like my love of organization through my feed. Like I don't know if I could do a post where it's completely different. So if I was to make a video and post it on my account, I'd still have the blue or purple aesthetic in the background and put it as a title page, and then the video comes up. Because I know I wouldn't want it to mess up my feed, but then again I'd still do it if I could put the cover on it.
I like that though, because I tend to do like a drawing and then a photo, drawing then a photo, and if I like get out of sync with that, I get a bit like visually it's not right.
Yeah, that's how I would feel if I was to do that, you know. I wouldn't want to mess it up, but like, because I've worked so hard on my account, but it's all right, you know.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's good to try and challenge ourselves and try not to stick to the same thing, but I get what you mean. Like it's nice to have like an order and like know what you need to post next and things like that, although I'm not really that organized. I try and post like once a week. But I don't make that.
I tried to post every other day, because it used to be every day, But then I thought every day, like if I move into September and I get a lot more busier, yeah. I think what, like I wouldn't like be posting very often. So I try to stick to every other day, but I don't always stick to that. But I'm trying to post as much as I can at the moment. I'm making a new post tonight. That's about is executive dysfunction. So
okay.
We can, yeah, it's going to be one of my tweet posts, but there's going to be more about what it is and how I experience it in the comments. And because I think it affects everyone differently if it does take an effect on everyone. But I think my view on it, I think it's very different, but it might be the same, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting when people could like come down in the comments and you see like if people like relate to you or if they like, you know, that sort of thing. It's always interesting.
Yeah, like I like it when I post something about something I experienced and then people they relate in the comments, and it's very cool. I do like that a lot.
And me too. Just to know that there's other people out there that like sometimes are struggling with the same thing as you. It's like really comforting to know that, oh, you know, I'm not the only one struggling with this, or I'm not the only one that experiences this. Like it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, it's very nice, and it's also a good way to communicate with fellow autistic people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, friends, you know.
Yeah, like because I didn't know anybody kind of my age or any kind of autistic people other than kind of through friends or family.
Mm.
Like whereas on Instagram I've met people from literally all walks of life.
Yeah,
who were totally different ages, you know,
all
different
over the world lifestyle. As well,
it's great. Yeah,
yeah, I like that kind of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because like in my people I meet like in real life, there's not many autistic people, because obviously I meet people at my trampolining group, but at school there's not many people. However, I'm in a new friendship group with like people in sixth form, and there's someone else who's neurodiverse in the group.
And oh, amazing.
That makes me feel really happy, because before I was the only neurodiverse one. But one of my friends, he's got dyslexia, and we were talking about, because obviously that means we're both neurodiverse, and then I was talking about like neurodiversity with him, and it was really comforting to know that that our brains both work differently to say the neurotypical's brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Oh, that's so nice, just to find like, you know, just even just like little things in common, or just to have like someone like a little kind of like partner in crime who you can kind of, you know, chat to like a bit more like open and honestly. That's nice.
Yeah, without the need to mask in front of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perfect.
Oh, that's good. That's great. So I was going to ask you, so you started your like podcast in June. Obviously I totally appreciate that COVID and exam stuff and, you know, revision and all that sort of thing has probably gotten in the way of,
because I haven't recorded an episode for a while.
But although I really enjoyed, like, I listened to your episode on self-care. I'll put your links to your Instagram and your podcast in the like description of this.
Oh, thank you.
Episode. I think that's the professional way of saying it.
Yeah.
But I think people should really go and listen to your podcast. I know you've only got two episodes, but
I will definitely post a lot more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post a lot more of them. Obviously, when I'm a lot less tied up, like maybe if I've got less assignments, then I'll record an episode.
And don't worry, I was
very good.
I had a few months between, like I think I did one in May and then like didn't do one till the next like year or something.
Oh yeah.
So it just like life gets in the way, doesn't it?
It really does.
I think it's a really good podcast, and you speak like really honestly, and it's really nice to hear.
Oh, thank you.
No worries. I was really like happy to see like someone else had like started a podcast. I was like, oh yay.
Yeah, it was definitely a large step out of my comfort zone, because even though it is like a podcast and everything, I have a few insecurities about my voice, because I was always uncomfortable with it and I never liked it, so I never thought that people would want to listen to like my voice, even though it's talking about very important issues that should be mentioned a lot more often. Like that they wouldn't want to listen to it. But after I released the trailer, one of my friends, she messaged me and said that, well, she put on her story that my voice is really relaxing, and I was like, oh, that's so kind of you. That kind of uplifted me and motivated me to like record two more episodes and a third, which will happen soon. I hope.
That's great. I definitely think you have like a very like podcast radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
I've had like I feel like people would like say to you that you should do like ASMR and stuff like that, because I've had that before where people are like, oh, your voice is nice to listen to, like
it
you should
is,
do
so. And I agree with them, like,
oh,
it's very nice to listen to.
Well, we're both blessed with very, I think, English
very English sound. I have to say.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. I think, yeah, definitely people should check out your podcast and your Instagram as well. Is I don't know, it's just refreshing to see someone like who also is going through like the same things as me and as lots of other people as well, and is just being really like honest and having like really open discussions, because that's what I really look for on Instagram. A lot of it is, you know, people looking fantastic and amazing all the time.
Yeah, like they have the perfect life, when really no one has the perfect life.
No,
it's just portrayed as that.
And everyone has good and bad days, but you only really see a lot of the good days on Instagram.
I agree like, with that. That's why I try and post things that like not seem that I have a perfect life, even on my main account. I've made my main account a lot more me, because it used to be very fake back in the day, but now it's got like more photos of me smiling and like,
oh, that's good.
Now my teeth are a lot straighter, thanks puberty. That it's like I can be myself a lot more on my page, and I know that's what people like to see a lot more of, because more people like my posts when it's less fake, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, and I get what you mean about like, you know, sometimes it's hard not to worry about like likes and followers and stuff like that, but actually it's more important to be happy in yourself and put stuff that's meaningful to you and that you think, you know, oh, you know, other people might have an opinion on. So I get that.
But yeah but it's what you want to put on your page as well as that. It doesn't really matter about the likes or followers now, but if a post like say I post something on my autism account that people don't like, they don't like it as much as the other ones, it makes me think, it just sets something off and makes me think, oh, they don't want to see that. But I take that as like a weakness, and then I improve on it by talking about things like sensory overload and meltdowns that people can relate to and want to talk a lot more about.
That's really good. It's good that like you say, it's not, you know, if something doesn't get like, you know, the amount of likes, you don't take it down. Or like, I know it's hard not to overthink things, but to kind of grow from things is really important.
Yeah.
Ah, the world of Instagram.
Yeah. It can be frustrating, but then again,
it can.
It's a nice place, from what I know, with my autism account. There have been a few like things on that account. But it's but like we just rise above them and we learn from them and hopefully improve life and make it a lot better.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think like even say if I was to use the wrong wording or, you know, something I've written comes across differently, they're quick to kind of, maybe judge you or comment, but a lot of people are there to say, actually that's not, the right terminology or something like that. Like most people are genuinely, there to say, oh, actually, things like that. Like the other day, I think someone said something about the symptoms of autism.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that, makes it sound like an illness almost, doesn't
it? Yeah.
And when I messaged this person back, I was like, symptoms isn't a great word to use. And they were like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realise, So
yeah,
it's, I was quick to judge and think, oh, you really didn't use that word because it makes it sound
I do bad. Prefer to use the word signs of autism because it makes it sound less like an infection or an illness.
Yeah.
What some people think it is, unfortunately. But it's like relating to autism, I think it's just so much more than a neurological difference. It's just, it's a lifestyle, I have to say.
Yeah.
It helps me through life. And I think if I was without a diagnosis, I don't think I'd get very far. So being diagnosed has really confounded a lot of things in life for me.
And I can say, being diagnosed later in life, that, yeah, it gives you that clarity and it gives you that kind of like, oh, this is why I struggle.
It's like the answer to all your questions.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I can give myself some slack.
Yeah.
Like, this is, why I'm like this. So, yeah, I definitely, it is great to get a diagnosis. And I know it can take months and years. Mm. But I know some people don't like the label, but I do. I'm really for it.
I like the label because it makes me, I wouldn't be Lily if, there was no autism in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to live with it. And I'm glad I live with it now. It's just a lot better.
I definitely agree with you. Like, me too. I'm coming up to almost a year after diagnosis. And I feel like every day I'm kind of embracing it a bit more and kind of trusting more people to know and little tiny steps.
You always used to be hard to break it to people because it's the judgment. You think that people think all the stereotypes and all of that.
Yeah.
And then you'd get judged for it. You wouldn't get treated like an equal. But because I've told some of my friends recently, because I only met some of them in September, I told them and they were so accepting. And
oh, that's great.
They embraced it. And if I do ask a question, they don't get exasperated or annoyed. And it's great. I love that. I love that about friendship as well. And the non-ableist people in society, which I hope is most of society, but there are those
few I hope
people.
That too.
There are those few people that just take it too far, Like the one thing that used to offend me, there's just three words, and those three words were take a joke. They used to offend me so much because I couldn't and I still can't, and I don't understand sarcasm either, so people saying take a joke really hit me
because I don't know, it's just built in for other people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's to try and express that actually I don't have that built into me, I don't have that filter.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, that is difficult, and I hate it when people kind of patronize you with something like that, like, I'll just take a joke, because actually it's something you struggle with.
Actually we can't help the fact that we're not able to take a joke, but some people, like neurotypical people, like they can help it sometimes. I'm not saying that they definitely can, but sometimes they can. But with autistic people, like most people who are autistic, they don't understand jokes. Some of them do. And it's interesting how autism varies between individuals.
But it really is.
Yeah. And I find that really interesting. And I'm glad in one of my A-level courses I learn about autism as well, because it's not taught enough, I don't think, in society. Like, like people, they have, like, there are lessons on racism and homophobia and, like, why, like, why it happens, but I don't think we get enough lessons on ableism. And
no, and especially like disability,
yeah,
and, you know, that sort of thing.
So there's more, like, as from my life, I know that there's more people mocking disabilities using the R word, and using all of that terminology, rather than like racist and homophobic slurs. I hear ableist ones a lot, and that's because of the miseducation, if that's the correct term, of like not bringing such a topic up, like this kind of discrimination. It's just, I don't think it's right. And I think that in, like, you know how like people have PSHE lessons, I think that could be a good topic to bring up in them.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's not really on the curriculum as such, you know.
I think it should be brought into the curriculum.
I think so, because, you know, even from, you know, just to learn at sort of, you know, 14, 15, 16, just to know how to, you know, I don't know, just talk to other people and to appreciate other people's differences.
I agree. Because also, I didn't learn, like, terms like ableism, neurodiverse, neurotypical. I didn't learn them from school. I learned them from Instagram and everyone else posting and advocating about those kinds of things. And it's really interesting, actually. And it just really, like, that's also why I'm glad I made the account, because I can learn and I'm taught about things that do affect me, like neurodiverse. I didn't think, if I didn't make the account, that's not a term I'd use to describe myself, but now I definitely would.
It's what you come along, like, along the way, it's what you kind of pick up and
it's a lot of learning
and realize about. No, definitely. And I think, like you were saying about, like, these terms that you wouldn't have heard of. And I think, like, things like shows on Netflix, like stuff like the A word, or, like, you know, Love on the Spectrum and stuff like that, people are only picking up on these things because, like, oh, there's a little bit of it in mainstream, you know,
TV,
like,
yeah,
TV shows and stuff. Yeah. And people are like, oh.
Yeah. Like, when, I don't know, you've heard of The Undateables, haven't you? I like the show, but personally, I think calling them undateables is a slur, quite a strong slur.
Yeah, we're not undateable.
We're not undateable. And that's what the show proves, that, like, they're dateable. And, like, most people, not all of them, but most people on the undateables have autism. And
but even, you know, if they've got physical disabilities, everyone is dateable.
Everyone's dateable. I know, I agree with that. Like, as much as, because, like, my relationships in the past haven't been very successful, but I know that I'm still quite dateable. I just need to wait I might need to wait longer than everyone else to find that, but it doesn't mean that I'm not physically incapable of dating. And that's what the title of that kind of a show portrays. However, I think it should be renamed, because, like, we are dateable. Everyone's dateable.
Yeah.
Especially autistic people.
And even that show, you know, they have, like, those kind of agencies that set people up who are, you know, disabled and looking to date and stuff like that. You know, there are those support services so that they can date. So really, the show, why they named it that, I really don't know.
I don't understand that either. But again, that's the thing we have to learn in life.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree with that.
I can't believe we've been chatting for almost 45 minutes.
That's crazy.
I know, we've gone off on one.
Yeah, and it's good, because after this, or, like, whilst we're talking, my dinner will probably be ready. And that's going to be amazing, because, like, I finished the podcast and then food. And excellent. I'm hungry, that's... so it's that's settles it. It's great.
I will also be going straight to have my dinner after this as well. I think we've set this up at the right time.
Yeah, it's a good idea, because then that means we've like earned our dinner in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's just we've given lots of food for thought, then we need food to fuel our bodies. Yeah. It's cool.
Oh, I like how you've kind of brought that all together.
Yeah, it's like those kind of links that you can make.
Yeah.
Making good links segue. Is quite difficult.
It really is.
But like making links is really difficult, but when they're there, then you can just like pick them up out of the air and just do that. It's quite cool.
Exactly. And talking of links, did you want to, as we're like coming towards the end, did you want to mention where people can find you on the internet? I'll put like links down below as well, but if you say them as well.
Of course. So at the moment, I have my Instagram, obviously. It's just at shorty.orty. And I use that platform to do most of my advocating. I also have Twitter, which is at lilymay23x. And I'll spell that out for you in case people aren't sure. And it's LILYMAE23X, because my name's spelled wrong quite a lot. My podcast, Autism and Positivity as well. It's found a lot of podcasting like apps. The ones I can't remember all of them, unfortunately, but the main podcast apps, it's found on Spotify. And Anchor, of course, which is where I record them. I don't think it's available on the podcast app, which Apple, like the one that's Apple Podcasts, that's it. I don't think it's available there yet. However, if you want to check, then that would be good. But I don't have a Facebook profile yet. I'm not too sure whether to join Facebook.
I'm like that. I haven't.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically where you can find me. I don't have a YouTube channel. I used to, but then I stopped making videos on it so I could focus on like advocating on Instagram, and like I like to be an autism advocate, and I do it so I can stand up for what is right. There are a lot of autistic people I know who have been denied the right kind of care. So that's like my main message that I kind of spread around as well. I think I've listed everywhere where you can find me. But yeah, as you said, the links will be provided in the description of the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Definitely.
And yeah, let us know what you think of this episode.
Yeah.
Message.
We'd like to hear your opinions and thoughts. Yeah. Because I'm always nervous when it comes to recording a podcast. Because as I mentioned earlier, like voice insecurities and like whether... like I'm not saying the right thing, but I know that people listening, they won't really judge you as much because they're understanding that we're both autistic from different walks of life, but still it's good. And I like that about a podcast as well. Is that
me too?
they can share thoughts and opinions. Yeah. And they listen, and that just means a lot, really.
Yeah, hope everyone's learned a lot. This was like a lecture, not really. message us your feedback and questions.
Yeah.
But no, it was really nice to have you, and thank you so much for coming on.
Nice to meet you too, and like to learn about your walk of life, because they're different, like mine and yours, and like we're of different ages, so like perspectives. I like the kind of perspectives that we've demonstrated and that we have.
I can't believe I'm 10 years older than you. I'm 26.
Crazy. That's really cool though. I really enjoy that.
It's really nice. Well, yeah, definitely. And I think it's good to talk to people of all different, like you say, walks of life. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And hopefully we'll hear some feedback. Yeah. And
thank you so much.
Yeah. Do you want to say bye?
Yeah. I'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.